One day a mother said to her four-year-old daughter, "If you choose to disobey me, then you will have to live with the consequences." And her daughter teared up and said, "Oh, Mommy, please don't make me live with the consequences. I would much rather live with you." Well, none of us wants to live with the consequences, but we do. And we will. All of us live with the consequences of our sin. One of the giants in the Bible was David, and the stories of his life are triumphant and wonderful, but also at the same time, they are downright embarrassing. Even though he was described as a man after God's own heart, some of his sins were public, and God put them in the book for us to read about. He laid them out there for us to read about the consequences of his terrible sins. It can make you squirm a little. You know, aren't you glad that the consequences of your sins are not going to be in writing for everyone to read about and ponder for centuries? Now, in our series on the Psalms, which we are in today, in Psalm 3, and again, by the way, that psalm is printed for you in the bulletin, there is no ambiguity about the fact that David is the author, because God told us that David was the author. And the occasion of the writing of this psalm was the rebellion of his son, Absalom, David's own son, rebelled against him, thought that he was morally superior to his father, and he rebelled, and he wanted to take over the throne and take over the kingdom. Even though David had ruled gloriously for 37 years, many of the people sided with Absalom in a bitter revolt against David. And this tragic story is laid out for us. And one of the consequences of David's sin with Bathsheba and with her husband, you know that story. We don't need to review the details of that adultery and that murder. The consequences of his sin are laid out before us with the rebellion of Absalom. But we're focusing today not on the sin, but on the consequences of the sin and our sin. That's the problem. That's the problem. The consequences of our sin. And here is what David wrote in Psalm 3 to express the problem. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, oh, I am outnumbered. I am humbled. I am in a hopeless situation. God won't deliver me from this. Have you ever experienced a great loss in your life? I know you have. Have you ever experienced a heartbreak in your life? I know you had. In those circumstances, did you ever think or say or hear anyone else say, how could a good God allow such bad things to happen to good people? How many have ever heard that question raised? Yeah? The theological truth that we know is that there are no good people, including you and me. So in these circumstances, did you ever think, or did you ever say, or did you ever hear it said, these things may be the consequences of my sin? God is just. Just as he is merciful. You have made many choices in your life, and you will continue to do so. And with the choices we make in life, the good ones and the bad ones, there are consequences, good ones and bad ones. But what we see as bad consequences, God may see as good, because he has a way of looking beyond what we are able to perceive. God is at work in your life all the time. God can see beyond the present. God can see beyond the problem. Hallelujah. Have you ever had family or friends turn against you? It hurt, didn't it? Of course it did. Could God bring good out of a situation like that? Of course he can. Will you realize it if he does bring good out of a situation like that? Will you know in your soul that it is God working in those consequences and those circumstances? That's a question for you to have in prayer with God. Now, okay, we understand the problem. But let's move to verse 2. David immediately said, verse 3, David immediately said, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head." David, a man after God's own heart, immediately reminds himself and he reminds us that in the midst of the problem, no matter what it is, there is still the presence. The presence of God. David was a man of hope because David knew God. And how much more, brothers and sisters, should we be people of hope? Because we know the Christ. We know the resurrected Christ. David talks about God being a shield around him. We don't talk like that today, do we? We don't carry around swords and shields. It was very common in the time that this was written to see people with swords and shields. But David also knew about God's eternal promises. For instance, in Genesis 15:1, God said to Abram, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Brothers and sisters, claim that for yourself. God is your shield, your very great reward. No matter how much mud is in your past or in your present, no matter how many darts people may have thrown at you, God is your protector, and God is your provider, and God is your defender. David acknowledged that truth in verse 3. How many verses would I have to write about my life to get to that point? How many verses would you have to write before you could acknowledge that too? God is your defender. He is your shield. We are prone to focus on the problem and not on the presence. Your hope is in the presence of God in your life. It's not on your abilities, or it should not be on your abilities. So like David, we proclaim the presence of God in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:31, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." RB read that earlier. Does that sound familiar? "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." David also said that God was the lifter of his head. I love that picture. What a wonderful picture. And comfort that is for me. God has a way of gently taking you by the chin and turning your gaze from down into the ground up to the mountains from whence cometh our help. From hopelessness to the presence, to hope. But he does that for people who seek his heart. He does that for people who rely on his faithfulness. Continuing in Psalm 3, verse 4, David said, "To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. David has moved from the problem to the presence and now to the peace. He says, I sleep. I know that you, like me, have spent sleepless nights because you are surrounded by trouble. You are tormented by things that are happening in your life and you can't sleep. What a wonderful testimony it is that David could say, I lie down and sleep. I pray that for me and I pray that for all of you. May you sleep to the glory of God. I know that you need that. I know that you need to rest in the Lord. Yes? Now, you probably know these verses from Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. Do you ever feel like that? You ever want to sprout wings and let's just get out of here and find rest with God? In contrast, here David says, I lie down in sleep. And then he adds, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Let that be a reminder to each and every one of us that no matter how overwhelmed you may be by the consequences of your sin, you can depend on the presence of God. Yesterday, today, tonight, and tomorrow. Verse 6, David said, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. That's a lot easier to say than it is to do, isn't it? But through the lips of David, God is telling us that we do not need to give in to what we often feel is overwhelming. To what we feel is overwhelming. We should stop that sentence at a different place. We do not need to give in to what we feel. Feelings are good. Feelings are bad. Fact and faith are what we need to live on, not our feelings. That brings us to verse 7. David says, Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Now that was an outcry so filled with emotion that the modern English translators had to put some exclamation points in there. Do you see them? In the original Hebrew, there was no such thing as an exclamation point. But by the original language, they know that this was an emotion-filled outcry. So it is very likely that David did not say this. It is more likely that David shouted this, Arise, O Lord! Deliver me, O my God! I mean, he was Jewish after all. And the Jews have a way of letting it all hang out there. Before he resorted to that outcry, however, David had already acknowledged God for who he is, and he had worshiped God for who he is. Excuse me. That is exactly what Jesus Christ taught us to do in the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to acknowledge and worship God before we start asking him for anything. In his outcry, David is making a very honest statement. He is saying, Lord, I can't do it. I need your help. Identify. Perhaps you can identify as well. In saying that, David is also making a profound statement that God has the power to deliver him. David started with a problem, and he acknowledged God's presence, And then he testified to God's peace. And now he's come to the point of calling upon God's power. Have you ever been there? Is that the kind of prayer that you uttered to God in your situation, whatever it was? Here is the sad truth. Too many Christians remain silent. At the very moment that they should shout to God, God wants us to acknowledge his power. Now, I just have to pause right at this moment and say, if you were not here last Sunday, you missed the choir singing the best anthem they've ever sung, sounding the best they have ever sounded. I just loved it. I love that anthem. When Judy said that she was going to undertake that difficult anthem with our choir, I thought, Judy remains crazy. Today, yesterday, together, and forever. The choir, you really delivered on that anthem last Sunday. And my favorite spot in that anthem is when you said, and we marvel at your great power. And I just love the way you sang it. Power. I wanted to get charismatic or something over here. I wanted to shout, yes, yes. God wants us to acknowledge his power, not just the problem. And not just during our times of need, he wants us to acknowledge his power in our times of prayer and praising. You may remember, by the way, that we had a study on the Hebrew words for the word praise, and one of those words is shabak, and it literally means to shout your praises. And yes, I know that's something that they do in other churches. Not here, of course. Or maybe we need a little bit more of Joshua's faith when he shouted on the seventh time around that wall in Jericho. Silent for 6 days. Finally, God said, shout. So the people of God shouted. And what happened? The walls came a-tumbling. Yes, the walls came tumbling down when the people of God shouted to him, God understands your emotions, your loud ones and your quiet ones. He understands your emotions. Regardless of your emotions, however, God wants you to understand his divine power. God, deliver me. That's another thing that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, when he said, deliver us from evil. You know this, but I never tire of repeating it. It literally means, rescue us from the evil one. I think you know that. And Jesus Christ came to do just that, did he not? He came to rescue us from the evil one. Amen. Amen. Psalm 3, verse 7, once again. But this time, the entire verse. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Now, there's an honest revelation for you. Our natural desire is punishment against our enemies. When those turkeys start giving you trouble and hard time in life, you want to see their jaws and their teeth broken, don't you? And you want it to be as painful as possible. That's natural. That's the flesh. But notice this, David refrained from breaking any teeth. David left that into the hands of God. David was saying, if there's going to be any punishment here, that's God's business. That's not my business. Problem. Presence. Peace. Power. Punishment. There's the formula of Psalm 3. Now for us, however, it often goes this way. Problem. Paranoia. Panic. Pensiveness. Pouncing. And it's the pouncing part that we have to work the most on because we're so eager to pounce. It's natural to want to see others punished when they sin against us. Yes, it's natural. Is it biblical for us to want to see others punished when they sin against us. Yes, it is biblical. How do we know? It's right there in Psalm 3. There's a prime example. And why can we say it's biblical? Because God is a just God as well as a merciful God. And we're asking God, just do what you do, Lord. Take care of my enemies, God. Turn the consequences of their sin against them. Think about it. Is it natural to want to be rescued from your enemies? Yes. And yes. The last verse of Psalm 3 begins with these words, "From the Lord comes deliverance." From the Lord comes deliverance. But here is where it gets complicated. Because Jesus came along and Jesus said, "Turn the other cheek." Oy vey. That's also biblical. And that is not natural. One needs to be broken and submitted to the Lord in order to obey that. You and I are not wise enough. We're not patient enough. We are not innocent enough to be the judge of other people. We need to submit to the Lord. Even before Jesus came along, David was spiritual enough to know that salvation, deliverance, belong to the Lord. It's not in our hands, it's in His. David knew that the best solution to anything is God's solution. Think about it. The best solution is God's solution. David, in fact, ended Psalm 3 by saying, "Lord, may your blessing be on your people." God's solution to your problems is God's blessing in your life. So regardless of your problem, know that His presence and His peace and His power are available to you. And that He is the lifter of your head. Failure is not the last word. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Shame is not the last word. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Illness is not the last word. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I close with Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I step through these thoughts with David and with you, I am convicted at how many times I have not relied upon your presence in my life and your power in my life and your peace in my life. How many times, Lord, I have focused on my problems. How many times I have forgotten that you are in control of my problems. You are in control of my steps, my words, my life, my body, my mind, my spirit. God, how many times have I forgotten that you are the one who brings salvation. No one else, nothing else. It is you and you alone. So Father God, help me, help us to be your servants. Help us to praise you and worship you in this life. Help us to live this life by your power. And may we marvel in it. For the sake of Jesus Christ and in his name we pray. Amen.